We're continuing with the Jewish home. We had discussed previously that we have to give on the other person's wavelength. We have to give in accordance with what the other person needs to receive. And so today we will discuss a little bit the different sentences that a woman has to hear, the different concepts that a woman needs to feel. So one is, Achat hi yonati tamati. In the Song of Songs, King Solomon describes her as being singular. You're the only one. There are none like you. The Talmud tells us that Mordechai was one of the men of the Great Assembly, one of the brilliant leaders of the Jewish people during the era in which the rabbis led the building of the Second Temple. And Mordechai said the following piece of advice, En isha mitkana ela beyere chaverta. Mordechai from Megillas Esther, he said, the rule is, the thing that a woman is most jealous of is another woman. So that's something which a person can't live with, just like a man can't live with the idea, just like a man cannot live with the idea that his wife has another friend, so too a woman can't live with the idea that her husband has another friend. So this is relevant, let's say, to a person's old girlfriends, to a person's friends from his past. Those are things that have to be reduced or totally removed from our lifestyle. If possible, a person should move forward and not take them with him. And if that's not possible, at least they should be very, very greatly reduced. And I've found that people are very respectful when you tell them, now that I'm married, I would want to dedicate my relationship with my wife and not... that's where it gets a little bit sticky. There's a difference between a sister and a cousin. A person has to be sensitive to himself and sensitive to his wife. So firstly, a person has to ask himself, am I having this relationship with my cousin because she's a girl? Or is it just a relationship of friends? And most of the time, the answer is going to be that a person is conscious of the fact that she is a female. And it's not right. A person should not be having that relationship. With an aunt, it's almost always because she's family. There's nothing about it that it's because she's a woman. It's because she's your aunt. With a cousin, so that's there's a fine line. So the first question that a person has to ask is himself. Before what's fair towards his wife, what's fair to himself? There's something very powerful about a relationship where you're building together, and if you want to speak to a woman, you're going to speak to your wife. Whereas if there's another girl in your life, so to speak, if there's your cousin or whatever, an old girlfriend online, so that's a very unhealthy relationship. And that affects the relationship between a man and his wife. This idea that a person is supposed to be dedicated to his wife and he's supposed to express to her that she's the one and only and that none compare to her. So there's a medrash about Eve that says that all women next to Eve are like a monkey next to a human. So a person should, you don't have to think of all women as monkeys, but you should think of your wife as a class apart, something different, and that's the feeling a person should have, and that's the feeling a person should express, that she's in a class in and of herself. The inverse is also true. Chazal say, don't keep a butler at home. Even if he's a big tzaddik like Yosef, you see what happened, Yosef was home every day, and eventually Potiphar's wife was very interested in Yosef. So Chazal said, it's not right. A person shouldn't do that either. If you have to hire cleaning help, so if your wife is going to be home with the cleaning help, then the cleaning help should be women. A person has to, don't bring problems into the home. Chazal say there are three types of men. You have a guy who's drinking his wine and a fly drops into the wine and he throws out the whole cup, says, ugh, I can't touch that. You have a guy who drops into his cup, and he takes out the fly and drinks the rest of the cup. Then you have a guy who a fly falls into his cup, and he takes out the cup, and sucks off the little drops of wine that are on the cup and then he throws it out. The Gemara says, by the same token, you have different sensitivities among men. You have a person who says to his wife, I don't want to see you even talking to the neighbor. You know, she needs a cup of sugar, and the husband answers the door and the husband goes ballistic. What'd you ask him for a cup of sugar for? Okay, so that's the guy who throws out the whole cup because a fly flew in. You have a guy who sees his wife going to dance parties and joking around with other men, and he's perfectly okay with that. That's the guy who sucks the fly and says, now I'll throw it out. And then you have a guy who goes to the middle of the road. He knows his wife is going to talk to her brothers, and he knows his wife here and there is going to ask something of the neighbor, the husband, and there's a certain normalcy of relationships between a woman and other men. It could be the guy who's the doorman, or it could be the her uncle or whatever it is, and that he's okay with. And then there's a certain balance which a person has to find. But this has always been the case in all of Jewish history. It's nothing new. Chazal warned us to be extra modest, that a person should try to avoid situations where it's going to be problematic. Like what? If you have a secretary, you shouldn't be looking at the same computer screen together. You know that when two people look at the computer screen, they're very close to one another. It's not healthy. People try to maintain Mr. and Mrs., not to use personal names. The relationship has to remain on a certain level. There's a certain formality that should be there. It's not only about the halacha of yichud, that you shouldn't be alone in the office with your secretary. Alone, I mean, with the doors closed and you know no one's going to walk in. It's also about the relationship. The way a person develops their relationship should be within a certain format of distance, where if you have to have a secretary, fine. I remember a friend of mine, a dentist, told me once he's looking for an assistant. He said, but don't submit anyone who's under 40 years old. He said, I don't want a young secretary, whatever. A person has to be realistic with himself, and a person has to think about where life really goes. We like to assume nothing will ever happen. I would never do anything. And the halacha doesn't view it that way. The halacha says we're all human, and over time we have our weaknesses, and so the halacha expects us to maintain a certain relationship. And again, this comes back to the idea of a responsibility of faithfulness to one's wife, which we said is not only expressed in the halacha, but also has to be expressed verbally. The person has to express that idea to his wife about how unique she is to him, how special she is to him, that she's the only one. Now, as righteous and pious as your wife is, she also has to hear from you that she's beautiful. Every woman has to hear that. And this is especially true right after you get married. Your wives are going to cover their hair, and that's something which is very difficult for a woman. And then she needs an extra shot in the arm to hear that she looks good with the head covering. It's not easy for a woman. Suddenly, her hair is something very big for her. You know, suddenly she's covering it. That's not easy. So she needs that support from her husband. In general, in a relationship, we tend to overlook small things, whereas the small things are really what build the big things. Someone tells you something and you roll your eyes, that has a little effect, but you know, these little effects build up. I once said an allegory. Imagine you're sitting and taking a test, and there's a little fly buzzing next to your ear. So you do this, and a second later he's back, and you do it again, and then he comes back. And then you try focusing on the test, and he keeps coming back, and you keep flicking at your ear. A second later, another bug comes and starts going by your other ear. So you're sitting trying to focus on the test, and every few seconds you flick your right ear, every few seconds you flick your left ear, and you try focusing on the test. As you're doing that, a drip starts dripping from the ceiling on your forehead. So you're doing this. How many flies? You're trying to focus on the test and you feel ants crawling up your sandals. How many things can a person contend with before he starts jumping up and down and getting upset? We all have a limitation. At some point, you know, you pick on enough aspects of a person, even though each one is a small thing in and of itself. But enough small things build up and we explode. So that's the way it is within every relationship. you think you're only doing something small. Yeah, but all the small things build up. If your spouse wants you to cut a smaller hole when you open the bag of milk, or your spouse really, really likes it when you buy hard nectarines and you buy soft nectarines, all these little things are not a big deal, but they add up. Squeeze the toothpaste from the middle, squeeze the toothpaste from the bottle. What's the big deal? It's not a big deal. But when you add that to your socks you left next to the bed, and I asked you not to last night, and I asked you to remember to turn on the washing machine before you went to sleep, and you forgot to do that too, and then you start building up a whole pile, it gets difficult. So our responsibility is to try to address the little things, not to overlook them, to find little things that are annoying and change them, and also find little things that will make the other person's day. I used to suggest that a person has a set time when he goes to the bathroom, he writes his wife an SMS. If you're going to go to the bathroom 3 times a day, you clear your mind, what are you going to do in there anyways? Write an SMS. Send her a message, I love you. It doesn't cost money, it's not a big deal, and it's going to make her day. It's a small thing, but it has a big impact. There are little things. I tell chatanim, if you're walking by your wife and you didn't do an act, you didn't touch her in a way that expresses your love. So, in Hebrew we say you're a posheya. How would you translate that? Okay, call it a sinner. That's not what I meant, but okay. That's not the word, no. I don't know the accurate translation to that. You're being delinquent on your responsibilities. You walked by, you had an opportunity to express your affection. It's not a big deal. People think that expressions of affection are only in the bedroom. It's not true. It's true that the halacha expects us to be modest, and out in public we don't show exceptional affection. Things that would show exceptional affection, people don't kiss their wives out in public. But in the house, no one else is there. A person has a responsibility, when possible, to show his affection. And the little things, they make a difference. We know that there's a part of the month where the couple may touch and a part of the month when they may not touch. But when they may touch, so I always tell the young grooms, you're eating supper and you're not holding your wife's hand. Why not? It's permitted during this part of the month. So you'll tell me I need to use the fork and knife. I don't buy it. There are times when you're not using the fork and knife. What is that? I didn't hear you. I missed that. Because you're eating with two hands. Okay, fine. When you need your fork and knife, I understand. But there's plenty of time when you sit next to the table and you don't. And the small things carry a big weight. You'll see. Small things can cause a marriage to deteriorate, and small things can build a marriage. And our responsibility is to be caring and show affection in small ways, not only in big ways. And a person who takes the time and the thought to change his little annoying things and to invest in the little things that will build, well, that he's going to have a beautiful marriage. It goes both ways. It means more to women than it does to men. A wife will also invest in little things, drawing him a little heart with the ketchup as she leaves him lunch. So to him, it's like, okay, fine. But if he did it for her, to her, it's a big deal. The little things carry a big weight, by them more so than by us. We'll give one more example. You guys are a more mature crowd, so we could take one more example that's very relevant. When a couple is living after they're married, so we have a part of the month once a woman's cycle begins, the couple may not be together, so they're not intimate, they don't touch. That doesn't mean their relationship deteriorates, it just means the physical expression of the relationship is put on hold for approximately 13-14 days, until the woman goes to the mikvah. Now, the night the woman goes to the mikvah is supposed to be a special night for the couple, because that's the first time they're going to be together after they've been separated for 2 weeks. It's important that the husband expresses to his wife, I missed you. It's important that he expresses to her, you know, I can't wait for us to be together. And it's important that there's a build-up. And sometimes it could go the other way around. like until the moment she comes back from mikvah, so no, everything's fine, and then suddenly there's everything's all exciting. No, the way it should work is there should be expressions of caring and of love throughout the month, and towards that evening, where a person has a biblical mitzvah to be intimate with his wife, towards that evening, there's a build-up. So we said, ordinarily during the month when the couple's permitted, so touch should be a part of the day. Not only in the bedroom, touch is a part of every day. And with regards to that, so then it's nice if the husband buys his wife a small gift, he leaves her a small surprise, something to express to her his feelings. So what did we discuss today? We said that developing on what we discussed previously, that a husband has to show affection the way the wife has to hear it. There are a few points that a woman has to hear. One is how unique she is to him, how special she is to him. We spoke about the advice that Mordechai gave, that the thing a woman is most jealous of is another woman. We discussed a person's limiting or completely moving forward from his relationships with girls in the past. We discussed being careful not to have a steady man in the house, not to have a cleaner when your wife is going to be home with him. We discussed the example that Chazal gives us about the three approaches men have to their wives and the way Chazal described a balanced approach. When we mention this, maybe we should add one more point we didn't mention. The nature of a woman is that she's always thinking, does he love me, doesn't he love me? She might not overtly be thinking that. She might not be expressing that, but much of what we do is seen within that realm. And as such, a husband has to realize that when he compliments any other woman, a wife automatically thinks, what does he think of me? Meaning there's a certain innate competition in everything you're going to say about another woman. She dressed beautifully, she made an excellent kugel. Don't be surprised if your wife comes back and says, and how's my kugel? And you'll think, but I wasn't talking about your kugel. I just said that that kugel's very good. But there's a certain feeling. The truth is we all have it to some degree, but women have it to a greater degree than men. That whatever you say, they automatically ask themselves, okay, and how do you gauge me, and where do I stand in that? And a person should be aware of that. Anytime you're complimenting another woman, your wife is asking herself, and where do I stand on that? So you have to be smart and let her feel confident that you value her and appreciate her in whatever realm it is, that you also are about to say something positive about someone else. And you have to ask yourself if it's really necessary to say that. That's the part of the advice, I think, that Mordechai was saying. A woman is innately jealous of another woman. There's that's built in. And it stems from a good thing. It stems from what we discussed last week. The concept that Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Ve'elishech teshukatech, that Hashem built into a man the desire to express his appreciation and his love for his wife, and built into the woman the need to hear it. There's this puzzle. They fit. We discussed the importance of expressing to a woman that she looks beautiful. We stressed the idea of expressing it specifically after she's starting to put on a head covering. It's also important when she's pregnant. There are times when a woman is more likely to feel that her looks are in question, and that's when a husband's job is to tell her she looks great. And then we ended with a discussion of small things that build a big relationship. And a person has to sur meira vaasei tov. Move away from the harmful things, move away from the negative reactions, from the things that bother our spouse, or the reactions which are hurtful to our spouse, even small things like rolling one's eyes, and build the big things. And here we discuss the idea of touch. Here we discuss the idea of on mikveh night, a husband building up towards it and leaving a small gift beforehand and making things special. We should add one more thing. It's important to have special times. Find reasons to celebrate. Don't miss your anniversary. Don't do it as a favor to her. You make things special, so then life becomes special. And a lot of it is a question of our attitude. If it can be your wife's birthday, it could be your birthday, it could be you just finished a course you took. It doesn't matter what, and you don't have to do a big thing. You could go out and celebrate over over a bag of bamba. I'll tell you a small story, Uri, I'm going to get to you in a minute. We had a half a year where our little son had breathing issues, and we were traveling to doctors and to the hospital every week. So you have to talk to doctors, and you're not getting the sleep you'd like. So we would find a place to buy iced coffee, either on the way there or there. And then it got difficult because we started going to hospitals where they didn't have Hechsher over there. So we made up the night before we'd go. We'd take a bottle and prepare iced coffee in the freezer the night before. So we'd freeze it. And then the next morning we'd get up early. And by the time we got to the doctor or the hospital, we'd have our iced coffee, which we could shake the ice. And then we'd have we'd bring along cups. And we had our own homemade iced coffee, which was free, right? What did it cost us? A shekel. Less than a shekel. When we look back at that half a year, thank God the child's okay. What do we remember? Our iced coffee. So it's you look back at the half year and you remember, oh, wow, we had to visit that hospital. I don't remember why. A month ago, we were walking through the corridor and we reminded one another. Here we sat down with him and we had an iced coffee on that day. And here we sat down. Okay, you took something which you had to contend with. And you add a little nuance. You add something. We didn't have time to make any special meals. But you could do that with a lot of life. Even something like a hospital visit. If you take the time and you think about it, and you try to infuse it with something. Here we didn't think about it. It was just, it happened. But in hindsight, we realized, wow, look, we benefited from it. Yeah?